for all those that are His. One day they'll see Him face to face. What joy, what delight that'll be for us, for Him.
I have one eye on Him, face in this eye, and the other eye on Him on the hill.
Yeah. But for those who know Him not here, there'll be a day of dread and fear when they stand before Him at the great white throne judgment, to be cast into the lake of fire. Come with me this morning to the book of Matthew, in chapter 6. Book of Matthew in chapter 6. We'll continue this morning our thoughts from the model prayer, the pattern by which His disciples are to pray, which is not to be after the manner of the hypocrites who pray to be seen and who pray long prayers to be heard, and thinking that their much speaking is going to portray them as very pious. But He said in verse 9, "After this manner, therefore pray ye: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." We have looked at the fact that we're to pray after this manner: Our Father. Our Father. Oh, how warm that is. How the heart loves to be able to call Him our Father, which art in heaven. He's in heaven, and so because He's my Father, one day I'm going there to be with Him. As Brother Ron just sang, as we sang as a congregation this morning. Then, after our Father, which art in heaven, begins the petitions that were asked of the Father. And we noted and got through the first three petitions, which were Godward. Hallowed be thy name. Thy name is holy. And in prayer, it's not about me, but it's about the Father, and it's about His will, His care, His concern. He's holy. His name is holy. Oh, may I always, in reference of His name, use it holy. May my thoughts always be of Him as holy. May I be holy in my life.
because I'm to reflect Him. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. You see, we're concerned about His kingdom. And His kingdom has come. His kingdom is here. His kingdom is being filled up. May I be used of Him in filling up His kingdom, in propagating, in planting and watering the seed, which sprouts forth and filling up His kingdom. Thy will be done. His will is being done. But I need to desire His will. I need to desire His will to be effective and to be lived out in my life. I need to be concerned about His will, not my will. My will is fleshly and is sinful, is wicked. But His will is perfect and holy and just. I need to be concerned about His will being done in my life. Am I obedient? Oh, I want to be obedient to His commands. I want you to be obedient to His commands. I want others to be obedient to His commands, to desire His will to be accomplished and worked out in their life. That was the conclusion of the three petitions, the three requests which were Godward. But now we get into the last three requests. And He said, there in verse 11, give us this day. This day. Our daily bread. Wow. Give us this day. We get all nervous and excited if we don't have more than just today's food and supply. Oh my, we need to go to the grocery store. We need to get some food in here. All the while, the cupboards might be full of food, the refrigerator might be full of food, the freezer might be full of food, but what do we mean? We mean, well, it's not particularly what I want to eat right now. That's the state that we're in, at least in America. So much so that God's people live that life and don't really know what it is to trust the Lord for our this day sustenance of life. I grew up in a family that was considered to be poor. We didn't have a, but you know what? Always had more than enough to eat. And always had plenty of clothes to wear. May not have been what other people had to wear. May not have been as nice as what other people had to wear. May it not have been the elaborate food that others had. But always had food. Always had clothing beyond today. So even all my lifetime, 68 plus years, I've not had to just enough for today. Give us this day our daily bread. And because our physical well-being is applicable to our spiritual in this world, we pray for the necessities of life. And Jesus is teaching us, yes, we need to pray for the necessities of life. Because, well, we know, as much as we hate it, when we're not doing well physically, that drags us down spiritually. When I'm sick, it's all about getting better and surviving this sickness. Not a whole lot of spirituality. At least not growing spiritually. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs in chapter 30. And this we have written for us. In verse 8, he's praying, remove far from me vanity and lies, falsehoods and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. I don't want to be rich. But I don't want to be so poor I don't have food to eat. And I don't have clothing to wear. Feed me with food convenient for me. Feed me with food, which is my necessary portion. That's literally what that word convenient means. A prescribed portion. That's my daily portion. Just what I need for the day. Lord, give it. Provide that for me. That's what Jesus is teaching us how to pray. Most of us know nothing about praying that way, do we? Most of our prayers would extend to, boy, give me more. Give me more. Give me the desires of my heart, and what are the desires of our heart? Oh, that we might increase physically. Look at Jacob, the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 28. And let's look at what he said unto the Lord. Genesis chapter 28 and verse 20. He said, Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, just give me food for today and clothing for today. Don't let me lack in that, so that I come again to my father's house in peace. So that I don't come to my father's house in poverty, having to beg food and clothing from him. He just wanted enough. And we know that Jacob had far more than that. From what we've learned of the life of Jacob. But look at what he told his brethren. Actually, this was in our Sunday school lesson this morning. at least in our class, it wasn't dwelt upon, wasn't brought out. But look what he says in the 48th chapter, in verse 15. He's getting ready here to bless Joseph and his household. He said in verse 15, "And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long until this day, He's taking care of me, He's given me food, and He's given me clothing all my life long, even until this day, even this very day, He's continuing to do that." And he was near his death. This is the purpose of his blessing. He knew he would come to the end of his years. He'd become sick and weak. Didn't have much longer to live. And he's blessing him. And he said, "The Lord's even providing for me today. He's taken care of me all my life. And he's providing for me today." That's what we need to remember. Think of times that God has blessed us beyond measure. He's taken care of it. He's taken care of me all my life. And He's going to continue to take care of me today and all the rest of the days of my life. That's what Jacob said. That's what he told his son Joseph. Turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy. The book of 1 Timothy. Chapter 6. In verse 6 through 8, the Holy Spirit, speaking here through the Apostle Paul, says to Timothy, But godliness with contentment is great gain. You will have great gain. You will have great prosperity with godliness. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, food and clothing, let us be therewith content. If we have food for today and we have clothes for today, let us be satisfied. Let us be content and seek after godliness. Because that's great gain, godliness is. This was the Apostle Paul speaking here, who had told the Philippians, he said, "I've had little, I've been in need, and I've been had much." And he said, "I've learned whatsoever state I'm in, whether it be little or whether it be much, to be content therewith." You can read that in Philippians chapter 4. And so ought we. Times when it seems like we have so very little. Oh, let us be satisfied that we have something. Something. You see, it just seems to be like it's human nature, and this carries over into all aspects of our life. It just seems like it's human nature to look at what we don't have instead of what we do have. Wow. We rob ourselves of a lot of joy and blessings by doing that. Let us thank God for what we do have, for what He has given us. Be thankful in our hearts. We're not to pray when we pray. We're not to pray for filet mignon steak. Maybe you don't like filet mignon. Well, maybe.
Well, we're not
afraid
for caviar.
Well, some people may not like caviar. You know, the luxurious food, the food, the palate that the rich people have and they squander money on $50 a plate, $100 a plate. We're not praying for that kind of lifestyle. We're just Lord, just give me a meager portion. Just give me what I need for today. It's all I need. And so praying, we're not only to ask for the physical, or we're not only asking for the physical, but we're asking for the spiritual as well. You desire daily, this day, your spiritual food. Do I desire this day my spiritual food? If I arise tomorrow, do I desire spiritual food? Oh, I desire Him to feed me spiritually every day. We should. Lord, give me some food today, spiritually. I need it. A spiritual man needs fed. I haven't arrived yet. I need it for the battles that I'm to face today. And Lord, help me to receive spiritual food that I might have strength to endure those battles. And every one of us face daily. He said, our daily bread. Just as the Israelites depended on God for their daily manna. So too we. Their daily meant they were to gather, go out, and they were only to gather what they needed for that day. Right. If they looked to tomorrow and they gathered more than they needed, and eventually they won't have to gather tomorrow, it stank by morning and was full of worms.
Amen.
Wonder what. What happened if God did that to what's in our cupboards today? And in our freezers today. Thank God, isn't it? And then only one day.
Yeah.
The sixth day, when they gather more. The sixth day, they were to gather twice as much. They were to gather enough for the sixth day and enough for the seventh day, because they were not to go out and gather on the seventh day. And those that didn't trust the Lord, I'll go out just as I did yesterday. And they got out there and there was no food. And they did without that day's supply, because they trusted not God. We are praying this way. We're trusting that God will give to us what we need for that day. We're not looking beyond today, but we're just looking to today. Why? That's all we have. That's all. We only have it right now. We only have today. We're not a one of us that are here today are assured of tomorrow.
Amen.
Oh, we look at Brother Branson, and we look at Brother Ron. Maybe even some of you look at Pastor Borden. Well, they don't have much longer to go. They're going to go before I. You don't know that.
Amen.
You might go before. All we have is today. Any one of us. It's just today. So if we have for today, that's all we need. That's all we need for today. Look at verse 34 of the 6th chapter of Matthew. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. Dismiss it out of your mind. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. If the tomorrow comes, the Lord will provide your need for tomorrow. But you and I are not to take thought of tomorrow. Because that's in the hands of the Lord. We sing a song. I don't know about tomorrow. But I know who holds tomorrow. I don't know about tomorrow. I don't know about the next moment. The Lord does. Take no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Provisions of God for today are sufficient. That's all we need of these earthly things right now. And as we go on in this 6th chapter, we'll find that our thoughts are to be on heavenly things. We're to be laying up treasures in heaven.
Amen.
Not concerned about laying up treasures well on earth. Then, next, he said, and forgive us our debts. As we forgive our debtors, forgive us our sins, our trespasses. As we forgive those who trespass against us. This is the only part of the prayer, the pattern of prayer, in which our Lord comes back to and dwells upon before moving on the subject of fasting. This is a confession of our sins and an asking God to forgive us those sins. That turn, we would forgive others. We would forgive others. Their trespasses against us. Just as He forgives us and has forgiven us. Every day. Every day we should be asking God to forgive us our sins. Well, that verse means we have to be aware of our sin. Are we aware of our sin? Or do we get through the day and the end of the day and think, you know, I'm just good today. I can't remember sinning at all. I know it's in daily. I'm idiot? Do we know that our thoughts are not as they ought to be toward God every moment of the day? Are we aware that our thoughts towards other people are not what they ought to be towards others? Are we aware of the fact that our thoughts of others are because we most of the time are thinking too highly of ourselves? Did you know it was a sin not to ask God to forgive you of your sin? First John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yes, yes.
Did you know that asking Him to forgive me of my sin, forgive me of my thoughts which are not Godward, forgive me of my thoughts which are not to my fellow man as they ought to be, is manifesting that I have been forgiven of my sins, I have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm manifesting that I am a child of God, and that I have a hatred for sin, a godly hatred for sin in my life. Every day. Every day we should forgive one another. Every day we should forgive one another. We should forgive our fellow man when we're driving down the road and cut us off. Maybe we're driving down the road and he gives us that bad hand salute, you know. We should forgive him.
Yes.
Colossians 3:13. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye.
Amen.
And how did Christ forgive me? While I was yet a sinner.
Yes. Yes.
He knew I was a sinner in the count of all of eternity. He knew that I was going to be vile and wicked and against Him, but He loved me.
Amen. Praise God.
And He came and He died for me before I was ever born. So that I might one day have my sins forgiven. And you know what? The day of my birth came, and you know what? I wasn't saved immediately, but you know what? He gave His angels charge over me. Protecting me and keeping me. The day of salvation.
Yes.
And His angels have continued to keep the watch over me, keep the guard over me since. We're to forgive one another. We're to forgive as Christ forgave us. Why then do we find it so hard to forgive? Why then do we get so upset one another. Why then? Do we harbor ill will and harbor in the recesses of our memory unforgiveness? Why? Are we forgiven? You want to be forgiven of your sins? You want to claim 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But yet we're not willing to forgive, Brother Ron. We're going to find out next week. He won't hear your prayer. He won't hear your prayer. If you're harboring something in the recesses of your memory against someone here today, you cannot go to Him and confess your sins and expect Him to hear and to forgive you. You done here. But Mike, we have a song in closing. Jesus endured much suffering, affliction, reproach, scourge, died, was put to death, was buried in the earth,
rose again, so that I might be forgiven. But not so that I would not forgive another. I'm to forgive just as He forgave. And I feel like there's someone here this morning that in the recesses of their memory they have an unforgiving. They're holding something against someone here today. I hope I'm all wrong. I hope I'm not right. But I fear I'm not. I fear I'm right. Tell me, Senator, man. That's all.